Welcome to the Unrefined Sophisticates. You are listening to Ken and Morgan Jones. Feel free to tune in on all podcast platforms and make sure to subscribe and comment. It doesn't have to be nice. They just want to hear your input. With that out of the way, get your ears ready because you're going to want to hear this one. I gotta have my drink. Pour me something in the cup.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Countdown. Hey, welcome to another episode of the Unrefined Sophisticates podcast. We're on episode 191. I am your host, Cam Jones, to that other box.
Morgan Jones.
And we are here again, rocking with y'all. Before we jump into the good stuff, we're going to get to the greatest, which is our shout outs. See how I flipped that up this week?
I like that.
We're going to start with shouting out France and the Philippines for being our top listening countries this week outside of these here United States. Shout out San Diego and Oakland for being our top listening cities this week outside of Portland, Oregon. Shout out to our sponsor, The Nine Brand. You can check out the latest and the greatest at the9brand.co. That's VIXBRAND.co.com. Don't let your autocorrect or browser mess it up for you. And you can go ahead and take a moment, if you haven't already, and follow us on the Instagrams. You can follow us at Unrefined Sophisticates. Follow Morg at Portland Morgan. You can follow me in these streets if you care to do that. If not, stay in the house and follow me at I Technically Can. And you can follow our sponsor, The Nine Brand. That's the IXBRAND. Make sure you like us, subscribe, and review wherever you listen. And tell a friend to tell a friend about us. Double up those onto Andres. Oh, I almost choked on a leftover mix of corn nuts there. How you doing, Mort? You taking my death? My close to death?
Well, I was watching you and you weren't close to death at all. So, I mean, I think right now you're just being a little bit dramatic. But
no, this is how I'm willing to do it for the people. I will, till that last breath, I am giving, keeping it together.
Giving it your all.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving it all on the floor, as they say.
Yes.
Ken, do you know where the phrase, this is a genuine question.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse my French for American people saying a cuss word?
I don't.
Or English speakers, I guess is what I
said. Yeah. I don't know what that stems.
You've never heard it either?
I've heard it, but I've never, I never put much thought to it. I just figured it was one of them.
You did the wee wee, and I was like, why would you do that? I don't know why that, I mean, that literally made me think, like, why do people say, pardon my French, if you're saying
that?
Like,
is a good, that is, I wonder what, 420. Oh, big 420. Dear worked for me, so I don't understand the celebration.
I know. You are scared straight.
Scared straight.
Indeed.
They educated me. Somebody needed some education this week. There was a video that was floating around on the interwebs, and there's a man known to the masses as AB. And for those that don't know him as AB, may know him as Antonio Brown. But a video surfaced of him in a very colorful suit walking across what looks to be some type of an indoor arena. And it makes you think of like indoor football. Looks like a National Arena League game is what it said it was. And he was being approached by a security guard telling him that he needed to leave the field right now. And he said no, kept walking. Somebody happened to mention that he's an owner, to which the employee says, nope.
Not even close, sir. Doubt that.
And keeps walking and he keeps being challenged. Then he starts to say, you know, and again, he's keeping composure here. He's like, you know, I'm not leaving the field. You know, he's like, well, then make me. And the guy just keeps on his bumper. And then he says out of his mouth that he is an owner of this team.
Yep.
And is told by the employee, no.
We don't believe you. You need more people.
And the video cuts before there's any escalation, anything that's going. This video's, you know, about 2 minutes long. But it made me think about, you know, scenarios where they tell you to interact with everybody the same. You know, you give the same respect to the janitor that you would give to the CEO. You just do that just because you never know. And one of the things that, and this is, this is going to connect here in a moment. One of the things that I've never liked about networking and being in big social events that are like, yes, kind of centered around networking is when people ask you, what do you do? I've always felt like that's a qualifier for how they're going to interact with you.
Boom.
And I do understand networking part of the reason I get that, but to it know, changes. You know, yeah, yes. And so
a lot of people, yeah.
Yeah, it definitely. And so I think that that's something that's always kind of made me a little. But again, I get it. If you're trying to, you know, you're looking for a computer programmer, you want to ask so you can know who to be talking to and spending your time chatting with. But when we're talking about positions and roles, that just can switch up the dynamic at times. With that said, coming into this situation where clearly Mans is out here colorful, you should just, even the way that the people are interacting with him should have gave him something, you know, just something that this ain't just a fan out here. It seems like there's stuff you would have to go through, even though it's an indoor arena situation. It just,
I don't know. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I don't know if that security guard, I don't know if he knows who he is in the way of him being a football player. Right.
Oh no, I don't even think. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
And I guess what I'm saying is, I think that if that was any just random person on the field, I don't think the energy would just be like, you need to get off the field. You need to get off the field. Like I, so for me, it's sort of like he understands that there's something he understands. Yeah. Cause I don't think that they would have you seen people get bum rushed for less?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Like the suit or not. Like you just, yeah. So he had to, I guess I'm just saying there's something, he understood something. If you don't know that he's a former NFL player and you don't know that he is 95% owner of the team that you are currently securing the game for, you definitely understand that other people know who he is because they're screaming his name and asking for pictures and hands out just to get a dap. Like,
yes.
So you understood something.
Yes. So
it was weird energy anyway, I guess is my point. Like you got some part of it. Maybe you should be on the radio with your boss. Like, who's this guy down here?
That the quick check in that ran through my head, too, of but more so of what I wanted to get with this is, how do you think you, as Morgan, as Jones, would have responded in a situation like this? Do you think that you would have kept on just walking through without, you know, making any kind of declaration on who you are and how you can have his ASS?
I definitely would not. That's not the energy I would go for. But I think that I would say, oh, it's fine for me to be here. If what do you have a question? You know, like,
yeah,
I'm not going to run from the conversation, not saying that that's what was happening, but I'm not going to run from it. You want me to leave? I'm actually not going to do that. I'm down here doing these things. If you need something from me, I didn't hear him ever ask his name. I didn't hear him ever ask, why would you be down here? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
To me, sir, you are not doing your job. That doesn't mean to me that I'm going to scream at you about it. That I don't in any way believe in yelling at people at work.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
So there's never. Well, I do not think that I will, and I have not been like, I will have your ASS. So in this scenario, though, I'm not just walking off and going, oh, yeah, sorry, which in many instances in life, I will definitely just be like, oop, let me get out of the way. Sorry.
Yeah.
In something like that. Absolutely not, sir. What do you need for me to to leave me alone.
that would have been, I think, for myself, it would have immediately went to, look, what I'm going to have you do right quick is go ahead and use that walkie-talkie, call whoever you need to call on that walkie-talkie, yes, and then follow up with me in just a moment because I'm going to keep walking around here. And that would have been my energy. I would have kept on moving. And then if this would have escalated into anything like them trying to escort me off of the field, then it's like, okay, look here, I'm gonna just do this. I'm gonna go ahead and call and let's throw this on speaker right quick. Yeah, let's have this conversation. Tell this person what's going on right now. Let them know, you know, you're superior. Let them know. It's just, that's where I feel like his way. Of course, we've just got this clip. Who knows what the full, you know, situation was, for if it was a 5 minute, 10 minute situation, whatever that may be. But there's just there's something to that. And I do get the side of a man doing his job, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Person doing his job. But when there's something said, like how often is somebody saying I'm an owner? How often is something like that being thrown around?
Yo.
Versus I could see if he was like, I'm on field, I'm pop, not paparazzi, media, you know, right, something goofy like that.
I'm or entertainment.
Yeah.
Someone's going to say something that makes sense for them to be on the field.
Yes.
But they're not going to say, I'm the owner of the team.
Yeah. 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 So, yeah. And again, that's just a quick check. I know for me, if I was on the side of the security guard, as soon as that got thrown out there, I would have checked in about it because I ain't want to be looking goofy out here. That would have been where my brain went.
It, to me, and because I have worked in many large arenas, like, mm-hmm, it would be mortifying to not know who you're supposed to know in that organization, in that building at that time. Like, and in a security position, what you're telling me is you don't know who works here. Like, you don't know, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have, when you guys are being debriefed, you don't know,
yeah,
the update that he is a part owner now. You don't know.
That's
you
great insight. I didn't even think about it that deeply.
It's just your security. You're supposed to know who and what to, you know, spend your time and energy on. That is part of the point. There's too many people at every event. You know what I mean? So you can't reasonably be expected to be keeping an eye on every single person. Yeah. So you need to know who is cool to walk across that floor. And so my man's didn't have any sort of lanyard or pass or anything like that.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. If that were any other instance, if he didn't have any clue that that person is okay, they would have, there would be no just casually walking around the field. That's just not,
yeah,
that's not the energy, because you are not supposed to be here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a game. You don't get to just walk on the field.
Right.
Like this.
Right.
So yeah, if he, that's like a failure on their end, is, I guess, is what I'm saying. Like, if you don't know who the owners are, if that's not a part of the morning meeting before you have these events, because I know that at other, you know, venues, you're learning who the promoter is so that you know that that person walking back and forth between all these places, so that you're not like confused every time, because it gets weird, right? People don't want to be like, I'm the reason we're all here. And the security guard doesn't want to have to like make contact with every single person. So the more I know as a security person, the better everybody's up. You know what I mean?
I love when we're able to get into like some of those type of talks, because of you knowing that industry, there's so much insight you've been able to give about events and places and how they run and operate that help to give even more context to somebody like myself who just casually knows this without some of the background interworkings.
Yeah. And I can't see that scenario happening with just like, if you watch that person walk out of the stands, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And walk onto the field, there's never going to be this like super casual energy. Like, Hey bud, I'm going to need you off the field.
Yeah.
And then just keep following them around when they don't talk to you. No security people.
Maybe he had just saw Catch Me If You Can and was like, you know, some people are really good at this.
That man looks like he might have seen it for the first time, too. So completely enamored with Frank Abagnale.
So in the way of movies, mentioning that Catch Me If You Can, remakes, movie remakes. Mm-hmm. Movies get remade all the time, right? Part one, great, did good. Then they're like, let's do it again. Part twos drop, threes, fours, fives, sixes, sevens, part X. It happens.
Is that the Scream we're on right now?
Huh?
X? Scream?
No, Scream is on five.
It's higher than that. It got to be higher than that.
Scream is on five because I want to go see that. But,
me too. It looks good.
Six. I lied.
I've been knowing stuff. And, all right.
And six. Well, I knew it was like the V and then they maybe put a slash down the middle. Or something. Like a...
Screenshot.
So movies get remade, and I feel like in the last decade, they've been going crazy with not making a continuation, but just revamping the old doodad. Some favorites, some classic favorites that by themselves stand the test of time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we do understand, right? The selling, things that sell, sex sales, nostalgia sales, and vanity sales.
All of these things have always sold too. This is not a new thing.
Always sold, right? And there definitely was a period of, and I feel like we're still in that period of the redos coming at you quick. The problem is that I've yet to come across a redo that made me feel like they did a good job.
Oh, not one that you can think of, or
that I can think of offhand. I can't think of something that they brought back years later. And I was like, oh yeah, there's been something. I was like, this isn't the worst. But this is what my take on this, where I feel like it would help these movie theaters or production houses along, is just naming it something different. Not even giving, because you're already setting up the level of expectation for the people who are a part of it. So you're going to bring everyone in with this weird thing, or this level that they need to reach, because again, nostalgia, they're holding on to what it was.
Right.
The new is not going to be able to compare. Like them redoing House Party, that was wild. Notice there's not been a conversation since the weekend that it was released reason.
I didn't even see anybody talk about it then. It was popular.
I paid the money.
Oh.
To be not talking about it. When I tell, like, not even, and but again, these things could be so dope in the way that it's an adaptation. But again, that not be the marketing. To me, it feels like lazy marketing when you're naming it the old thing, because you're going to get a bunch of interest based on that. Whereas if this was a standalone movie and then people watched it and were like, oh, this is like White Man Can't Jump, or this is like House Party, this is, then you're getting people to make a correlation. But then you get people like we were having the offline of like, Los ain't never seen The White Man's Can't Jump.
Right.
So had this just been titled something different, he has his own, or I mean, I guess even if he's watching this, it's still, you know, it would be new to him. But it just, why not let it be its own thing?
Because it's not its own thing, for one. I mean, if you are completely remaking, and by that I mean storyline, characters, you know what I mean?
These tropes be like so burnt out. Nobody's doing anything new or...
Oh, I don't disagree.
Yeah. Sorry.
Although I do disagree. No, disagree is the wrong word. But I do like the new Bel Air, which is not... It's not... I think it kind of fits what you're saying, where it is...
Yeah, they flipped it.
They flipped it. It's a completely different... But okay, yes. So yes, to your point.
Yes.
That's why I was like, I don't think it's disagree. I don't think that that you could take a movie and basically do an updated version of it and call it something else. I think you can take elements and do that, right? And then it's an homage. Then it's I hope they find these little things.
But I hear that, but how many Romeo and Juliets exist?
Well, so what? Yeah, no, the story's the same though. So my point is, if the story's the same, if the characters are the same, and you're going to be using dialogue that's the same, I mean, then that's a remake. And I don't understand why we have so many of those. I feel like we are continuously growing in creativity. You know what I mean? As a people.
The way that the world has shifted, this is the thing that blows me away, right? All the stuff that they're doing, like, you know, I love stuff like the video game adaptations and things like that. Mm-hmm. Things like that are cool, right? But if there's what we've seen in the last 5 years, right? We've seen a shift everywhere from porn onto the content that we consume on our social media or timelines. It's stuff that looks regular. It's stuff that's homemade. So you get a lot of these small outfits that are producing. You got things like Tubi, not giving a nod to Tubi, but these are for people who don't have all the resources and are just trying to make things happen with what they do have. They've got that. So you're seeing it. There are, you can go to YouTube and find storytellers who with their own camera equipment are putting together some crazy dope stories. Why not start that? Be the pivot is like reaching out to them, give them a bag, let them help. However, and bring some of these new stories to life versus just keep adapting these, or not even adapting, just ripping these off. And then everybody being disappointed, you getting that little quick swoop on it. And then it's a week later, there's nothing else about it that anybody cares about. And you're barely making your money back.
Carlos just made a point that there's a way to do it where you're, you know, paying respect to the thing. Yeah. And the old storyline, but you're still making a new one like Creed. And that is a really good.
Yes. Thing of the Romeo and Juliet story. It's like there's so many movies not called Romeo and Juliet, but it's the story. Names have all changed and all. That's what I'm saying is there's so many stories that exist that it's the same story. All of these, most of these things are just recycled. If you really break down the plot line and so on, there's people who can act well and make you, but it's, if you trace it back, most of these are these directors' favorite movies or writers' favorite movies. And they've made their version of this. You know what I mean? It's rare that we're getting something just super fresh, specifically more in the comedy and horror and romance genres, right? Like those genres are just recycled narratives with new faces. It's really what it is. And so taking that, we're like, this movie, I'm sure they're going to have some lines that give, but I feel like this could have been its own movie. This could have been like, this is a trope in general. You're corny white dude. You can jump on social media right now and how many white hoopers have crazy followings because they can get on these black courts and give people buckets or got handles or something. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like this is something far-fetched. This is a hustle. The same way a pool shark and anything else that you do, this is a thing. So it's like the way that this could have just been slightly versus just being like, this is that. Like, nah, you guys are not going to replicate Woody I was about to call him Blade, but
I was about to say Blade, and I was gonna be making fun of you for that. I don't remember his name in the thing, but I can hear. Dang it!
Yikes!
Black card is gone.
Wesley Snipes. There we go.
Oh, I knew his real name. I couldn't remember his name.
Oh, in the that's what I couldn't remember. I was calling him Blade.
Gave me Sydney in the movie though. Like,
okay.
So that's where I was at. Damn, sorry. I really helped you out there. I definitely knew that's what
you said. Let me drown.
The thing about this for me in this remake of White Man Can't Jump. I agree. I think this is something that could have been made. It's also just a buddy movie. So this is like the unlikely buds, you know?
Yeah.
That is a trope. That is something that like forever is going to be made.
The dog and the cow.
Yeah, exactly. So you didn't have to do this, but I think there's something to be said about the nostalgia factor. It does work for such a large group of people that they're going to continue to do this. Because like when you said, how many Romeo and Juliets are there? I immediately thought of the movies that are actually called Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da. You know, like thousands? I don't know. Like so many. So This to me, though, I will just say, I don't think we need any more, you know, dead on remakes that are supposed to go head to head with these things. However, this trailer made me wish that Jack Harlow was just an actor and I didn't meet him as a rapper first.
Yeah.
That was where that went for me. Like, you were a Disney kid, you know, like you're Justin Timberlake in this moment. Like, maybe we should have just went this route and we wouldn't have had to do the black music first. Like, you know, that was not really a dart.
We just got racy, y'all.
Okay.
Turn it up a notch.
Racy.
You know what, Patrice O'Neal, for all the things that were wild, one of my favorite sayings of his is like, this isn't racist, but this is racial.
Yeah.
Like, there's some things that I'm very racial about. And you can be racial. And I used to love when he would break that, like, separate on which was which. And that used to be interesting.
Nah, that's real.
Did you have a movie remake that you were like, you know, I can get jiggy?
I feel like there's got to be. My immediate thought was that I did like is Bel Air. That was the thing that I thought of. Because like I'm hooked. Like, we watched that as a family. Like,
yeah, no, that them doing that, come bringing that back as a drama was definitely how you do that, because it's a whole new twist on the story, which gives a whole different feel. Like, you can't recapture. I feel like that specifically in comedy, trying to recapture comedy, because the things that worked at that time, kind of like our off-air conversation, you just
don't
can't
work now.
You can't do the same. And that's kind of what made them what they were. And it's not to say funny things can't be written, but if you're trying to keep it in this same context and why it was so successful and popular the first time around, you're having to stray away from that. So
yeah, agree. Yeah.
You know, hip hop music. You remember, I remember in the beginning of 2020, this is unrelated to anything. Actually, it might actually phase in and give us a nice little seggy. But I remember joking around about reading adult bedtime stories and making a YouTube channel to do that. And yeah, and I remember being, you know, quite surprised at how many people were like, yeah, very supportive of that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it goes where we talk about, like, I'm me. I have my voice. My voice comes out of my mouth. I hear it. It sounds a lot more high to me in my mind and in my nasal passages than it does to other people. And that's been a thing since forever of that being something that people comment on, of like, oh, I like your voice. Your voice is all those type of things. And but sitting and reading stories, I feel like there's something to that. And I've come across enough people doing things on YouTube that I'm like, this is corny. Like, you don't have a good voice, but you're actually doing it and making the stuff. Yeah. And just wondering, you know, if that's still, like, maybe I should do that. Get on a subreddit and find, like, you know, some adult fan submitted adult stories and see if they'll let me do the audio version.
Yes.
Side hustles galore, baby.
Grind culture.
Double
entendre.
Oh, I see it now. I'm here with it. Grind culture, double entendre. I'm about to make a note of that.
I do want to hear you read stories, though. I will take hearing you read the news.
Yeah.
Like, your voice is, it's just that kind of voice.
Yeah.
It's funny that you hear it higher. Like, I think I hear my voice lower than it is.
Interesting.
I know I do.
I wonder what that is. Like, I feel it being the nasally running, you know, we're hearing it from reverberating like inside of our head.
Yeah.
Versus how it goes. What I do want to know is how people get those voices that cut through the noise of like a room. Like, I don't have a voice that it doesn't cut through chatter. I'm not going to silence the room with my But then you have other basses that are like, they're heavy. Like Am's voice is a heavy bass that cuts through. Like his, if he was like, hey, yeah, like his, when he gives, like him, Sam, I feel like Sam got the same type of that deepness that cuts through a space when it's getting louder.
My dad can cut through a room, but I don't know if he has a, I wouldn't say he has that deep of a voice, but
yeah, no. And I don't think you have to have a deep one to cut. Cause just some, cause there's plenty of women I know and that just, yeah. But it's something dope about whatever that is.
Yeah.
That cuts. Cause those are the people that get your attention quick.
Fast.
Yeah.
I feel like Ambush's voice is too bassy to cut through. Like I don't know. I feel like
it's almost like you feel it though. It's more so of like a fit. Like it's yeah. That same thing with Sam. It's like you feel you're gonna turn to be like who? What was that?
You totally were.
Yeah. Women deserve less, right?
Of what?
Stuff.
I couldn't.
Right? Am I right?
I don't know. You tell me what you mean by that.
I mean, stuff.
Sure. Like, have you read a book about it?
Nah. I should. I'm probably gonna go on a world tour. Because more is less. More is really less. Less is really more. I mean.
Less are you really gonna more. Read a book about it? I'm probably gonna go on a world tour.
I'm gonna go on a world tour telling how less is more. So women, you deserve less. Don't clip that out, listeners. Context
clip, context definitely clip. Is. We're gonna get a little video, we're gonna get a GIF, we're gonna get the all whole that. Situation. And a meme. So there's one of the Fresh and Fit guys wrote a book called Why Women Deserve Less. And the paperback, you know, is available since February of this year. You guys go get it. It's probably like 7 pages long. I don't know. Can't really tell. But what I was hoping is that I feel like, you know, a person like this guy, I don't know if he's fresh or if he's fit. I'm not sure. He's the racially ambiguous one. I don't know what Myron Gaines. He's the cop. We can put it that way. Homeland Security. I think that the voice that all of those guys want to have is your voice. Like when they read something, I think that's what they hear. That's what they want to hear when it comes out.
Tell me I could get buy-in. I could infiltrate the manosphere.
Oh, let's do it. Let's do it.
There'd be an interesting thing of setting up a real life experiment of like, and you create the like the stuff in the messaging, essentially.
I want to do this.
I'm with it.
Take this out. Don't let them hear our production meeting.
Yeah, put the time stamp.
So I think that this is like the what I am hoping that you will do for us as, you know, Red Cup siblings and relatives. I'm hoping that you will read the description of this book.
All right.
Why Women Deserve Less. So we can hear it in the voice that I think they think they're giving it in.
All right. Let me stretch right quick. I have to open up the lungs there.
That's what you got to do.
Ready for this?
Ready.
Oh, they gave it. Oh, y'all are wilding. Okay. All right, listeners, get buckle those seatbelts. Ladies, make sure this chastity belt is tightened.
Okay.
Every man alive today faces a paradox. You're hardwired. Biological programming is screaming at you to get girls, get laid, and inevitably start a family. However, today's women could not be less interested in today's men. In times past, this was not the case. Men and women needed each other, and as a consequence, would team up to form families. Families that would not only provide love, purpose, and meaning in life, but would be the foundation that all of society and civilization was built upon. But the perfect political and economic storm has formed that has liberated women from men, making so women no longer need men to survive. And what every man alive today in the first world is witnessing is how truly little interest women have in men. Do you ever wonder why a girl stood you up? Or why your mom divorced your dad? What about when your girlfriend suddenly broke up with you or started throwing a tantrum? Or perhaps your wife left you and took the kids? Why, in general, does it feel like pulling teeth to get girls to do anything? These things aren't bad luck or anything specific to you. This is women's genuine and baseline interest in men. They just don't like the average guy that much. But as hard as it is to accept this reality, you must. Because if you don't, you'll do nothing short of destroy your life. Because whereas in the past, a man's sex drive is what drove him to become the best man he could be, providing for his family, protecting them, and ultimately building civilization, today, it's your biggest weakness. Because while women no longer need you today, they're not stupid enough to turn down any free help you're willing to give them. And many know if they dangle the prospect of sex in front of you, you'll provide them money, attention, and resources, essentially making you their part-time slave. This has resulted in men playing a new game with outdated and life-destroying old rules. Women don't need you, but still want a man who makes a lot of money. Women won't give you sex, but we'll vote to take raise your taxes to pay for their deadbeat baby daddy's kids. Women won't date a plumber, but needs his money to bail them out of their liberal arts degree. And if you simply disagree with this slavery, you hate women and are a misogynist. Still, millions of men sign up for this indentured servitude because they might get laid. Why women deserve less merely makes the argument for this to stop. It highlights the ways in which women are benefiting unfairly at nearly every man's expense. It explains how we are in a post-marriage society where the old contract between the sexes is null and void, and men no longer need to uphold their end of that outdated contract. It eliminates the confusion women have caused the past four generations of men with a blunt and accurate assessment of women's true interest in men. And it saves men from wasting their lives trying to form costly and risky relationships with women who, frankly, just aren't that interested. Why women deserve less opens every man's eyes to the reality of the modern dating world so you don't waste your lives like so many generations of men before us. Do yourself a favor, buy and read Why Women Deserve Less. Your life is just too short and too precious to waste. Whew, I'm all charged up.
Wow. Fantastic work, first of all. Like, I need to applause drop. That was fantastic.
It's that was a long way to write "I don't get vagina that warps back."
So many words for that.
Yeah, like just tell us that you don't get vagina that throws it back, that pumps back. Like, say it.
Yeah. Never
say it.
What? No clue. No clue what it means.
You know, this made me think of this hilarious video meme that I saw today. That dude said the three things to make women orgasm. We'll throw that word in there.
Okay.
He has a whiteboard behind him with three ways to make. He has one, two, and three. And he turns around with that marker to write the first step,
mm-hmm.
and then break down into tears and says he doesn't know. Yeah. So it's cool, guys.
Oh my God. So it's cool. Everybody's good.
Cool. It's cool. Yeah. Yo,
I had no idea where that was going. It was not there.
Me as a viewer, I was not ready for that at all either.
Dead.
Favorite of mine now.
That's pretty great. That's pretty great. That would get a follow. Yeah. I think my favorite thing about this, I think that was the book. I think you just read us the book, number one. That's the longest description.
Yeah. That was
repeating and repeating and repeating. Like that is
it's only 86 pages, and it definitely makes me wonder if it's like, you know how some books it's written crazy big.
Yeah. No, it's a 7-page letter that is just blown up or something.
Well, they did the research. I see a research and citations page.
Click
ScienceFriday.com is one of those up, and it's from a WordPress site. They don't even know how to like make their links right.
Make it look better. They ain't
even hiding it. Okay, you got Medium on there. Cool. So that means a blog post. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to look through this and see if there's anything in here. Amazon.com. Nice. Oh, they do. They've got some stats here from time spent working full and part time, status, gender, location, and that's from BLS.gov. Okay, you went and grabbed some data, and that's pretty old, but cool. That's 2014. Nice. Okay, I see a journal, a Sage Pub. Okay, another Gov site. Okay, but for the most part, this is a lot of blog stuff. Interesting. I'm just observations.
Well,
they do see an article here. How expensive are women? Women are very expensive. I will say that. I stand with you there, brother. I stand with you there. But yeah, besides that, I'll let you carry us.
No, I mean, that was, I just wanted, I wanted to hear that. I also am looking at like just the reviews of it. And it's funny to see like phenomenal. I just even from the description, I'm like, phenomenal would be one of the words to use. But yeah, like this is going to be redundant, but also I want to read it now. Like
I want them to have to put their age of these reviewers, region.
I like this.
And let me see, age, region, and Instagram profile. I think those would help.
We just need some clarifying things.
Yeah, because it's like every rapper I know, no matter how small time, only has sex with models.
Right.
I have said it on public platforms that I feel like you should have to share these models with the rest of us and see if there's a consensus on that. Transparency, maybe that's what we're asking for.
Is the consensus that they are in fact models? Is that
want to see? we want to seize. But like in this situation, where as somebody that you know runs the Reddit streets,
yes,
it's you know, there's, you know, it's a wide range of people there, but I feel like, you know, some of the more active ones, especially with big thoughts and ideas on women and dating and things like that. You know, I'm just going to say, I don't think they'd play cleanup at the good old, mix and mingle, you know, that's all I'm saying. There's some hanger backs.
there's some hanger bags.
Yeah.
This might be my favorite review right here. It's excellent short read. 5 stars. If you love the Fresh and Fit podcast where Myron roasts hoes and tell men how the modern women are, then you must purchase this book.
I have an even better one. Somebody gave it.
We really do.
5 stars, and then said, "I feel like ... and That's the review.
And that's it.
And seven people found that helpful. Just so you know.
Why wouldn't they? I mean,
and nah. This is some news you can use.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to spend some time and go back to like where what the one stars and the, you know, all those things. But like reading somebody say, you definitely, this says a must read book. This book definitely deserves 10 stars. This book helped me to understand the quote, modern day versus traditional women. It's a great read and very informative for both man and woman. Woman in all caps. Because I think that that's the most important.
This is
get your woman to read it.
I'll give a read of a quick. It's a nice, I feel like, write up from Glenn, who gave it a 1-star with a clown emoji. Oh. And he says, horrible advice for men talking about making money out of men's insecurity and mental health issues. Ooh. Instead of addressing the fact that it's okay for men to get therapy and talk about their emotion, Myron focuses on bringing women down and encouraging men to be violent and to treat women as objects. Instead of encouraging teamwork and partnership between men and women, Myron degrades them and advises men that women must submit to them like they're some sort of dog. This is the type of attitude that keeps men single and undesirable.
Ooh.
Myron had a great opportunity to attack the real issue, which is other men. Men decided that relationships and marriage is only transactional. Ooh. Now that women make their own money and want emotional intelligence in relationships, men are now starting to see the problem that they themselves started to begin with.
Okay.
He's going... that's what I'm actually about to go and like go to his profile and find out that it's all the stuff for jewelry making.
Hey! For real. Okay, do finish. Carlos said we gotta let him cook. Keep going.
All I can hear is that audio from the gram. But he said, we're not lions and monkeys to be thinking that way. We've got a prefrontal cortex that distinguishes us from actual animals. You as a man have the power to become a better person and be compassionate, sympathetic, and understanding. However, if you decide to continue your misogynistic way of thinking, then expect to be single for the rest of your life. I can't necessarily, that last bar is not.
It's a lot.
Yeah, but yeah. You know, he's given. There's people for everybody, but with this, like it's no different to me than, you know, writing a fitness book or a diet book. Those things are always going to go. You're jumping on, you're latching on to, again, people's insecurities. And he's definitely knowing that platform, because I feel like they are kind of what started a lot, at least the first, a lot of the stuff I was seeing, there was millions of podcasts and radio shows and stuff that, you know, had those type of discussions. But I feel like as far as clips that were viral clips regularly of these, why women ain't this and that, was their stuff. So they've got, you know, that following and so on. So they're basically the SMEs, and that now puts stuff like this out and people jump on board with no thought to it because it's more of the same. So, of course, excuse me, you've got, you know, your, it's just, it's interesting to me of, you know, when you get people who, when you've got a bunch of people around you that are supporting, and I get this in not just this kind of context, when you've got people who are just not as sharp as you. And this is where some people forget that you, because you can think faster, like that's a great skill, right? That's essentially outsmarting the people around you. But because you're able to think faster and say your words faster doesn't mm-hmm. mean you're making the point. But the thing is that there's a lot of people that believe because they're able to shut you down with a bunch of words that they're throwing at you very fast before you can gather a full thought to be able to actually add some substance to the conversation, right, that they've got you stuck. And it's like, no, that's not what this is. Yeah, you're just saying a bunch of words. And I see people like that in conversation, and it's like, the amount of times I've thought to myself, I wish I could just have some of these conversations with these people as who I am now, not coming in from a way of like, oh, I'm going to change your mind, but coming in because there's things that you're going to say that I can be like, yeah, you know, that is a great point, like by itself. Now, sit that to the shelf and let's continue on this. I'm going to help break down why this doesn't make sense overall. You can have these elements there that do make sense, but your overall messaging, no. And I wish that I could do that.
Yeah.
That would be for me, again, doing it in my way, the same way that they're doing it, where they're not worried about offending and so on and so on, where I wouldn't be worried about offending them in that, you know, type of setting and situation. So it's like, let's talk this out. And if you're making a point, you're making a point. And I'm a person that if you are like, I'm not here just to, my thing is like, let's really get to this though. And once you start extrapolating this stuff and really looking at these parts individually, you'll see that this really doesn't all work together in the way that you're saying. You may have a few isolated incidents that rings true, but those isolated incidents don't, that's not the population. Like, yes, there is a culture of a lot of the stuff that's being put on here and talked about. Yes, there is that exists of, okay, cool. But that's the same way that we'd be like, every guy's not a rapist, but there's a big portion. There's a portion and that is put out that. So that does ring very true for. So it would just be interesting to be, you know, have some of these discussions, because I've done this stuff in real time, even just with some of the homies and some of the stuff they say. And when I start questioning them and we're actually going back and forth, then it's like all of it starts unraveling. And I'm not doing it from a way of arguing.
Yeah.
I'm just like asking the questions to make this make sense in a long-winded way.
I appreciate you doing that, because we need, I think, in every instance, no matter what the thing is, but it's, you know, there is something to people listening to the people that they respect the most, right? Yeah. So if, you know, you are a man who is, maybe you don't even realize, you know, giving all that misogyny, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to listen to the women in your life tell you that you shouldn't say these things or this is why it's bad. Like, that's not how it's going to work. So we need that. And doing it in a, you know, the way that is the way you have conversation. It's never about like, let me just preach to you, you know, like that is not going to do it. But it's important to know and note that when you are having those conversations, you see it unraveling. You see it's not real. Like, and when you are a person with certain, you know, ideologies that you don't even realize that you have, like, I think that's one of the things that's a big point for me is I want people to let go of what those labels are, right? Like, so if someone says you're being misogynistic, I don't want you to be so defensive about it. More be like, what does that mean? And what, you know what I mean? Because that's something, that's a coat. You could take that off. You don't have to wear it for the rest of your life.
Ooh,
you
know what I mean? Where's that little Wayne meme where you that's it. You could take that off.
Yeah, like that. You don't have to hold it.
Not stitch coats, though. Those are locked on you forever. Anyways.
That's physical jacket.
Yeah.
So for me, when you find out that there is a reason that you think that, right? Like, it's, and I don't mean like you don't make your own thoughts. I mean, like we talked about off air, the culture that is around you in certain formative times, there's stuff that a person today would immediately be like, how dare you ever even have those thoughts? But in that moment, it was so normal. You didn't even realize that it was happening. So
people used to work with asbestos and let their kids play in it. So like, let's just say if like things that's put in a real regular way.
Lead paint. Like, there's all sorts of things.
They was putting U of O in lead paint across state chest, like
flat out,
you know? So
there's a lot. And
yeah,
it sounds crazy. Like, I think we talked about this not that long ago, but I will never forget. My aunt will continuously be like, yeah, it's really weird that like there was a time in my life where you got off work and you drank a beer while you were driving home. Like, that's just what you did. Like, that's never been a part of our lives, but it wasn't that far before we were born, you know what I mean? So it's like, that is wild to me that was just, that's normal, that's what you do. You drive down the, you know, down the street drinking a beer with your foot out the window. Like, what?
That's kind of icy though. The visual, not the actual act.
What a time to be alive. But yeah, I mean, keeping that in mind, that we put a little probably too much pressure on having it right. You know what I mean? It's way more about the learning and the unlearning of the things. And if you could, you know, find a way to make it so people don't get defensive about a thing, then it really is just a conversation. And if you have to like bear out your ideology, but you can't get past like halfway through, that is a time to sit with it. That is a time to be like, okay, wait, what is this about? Instead of being like, nah, F that, blah, 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 blah. It is what it is.
And I'm going to say for people who are the ones that are doing the blasting or the labeling, you also need to not do this blanket thing the same way that you're going to be critical about people's response to a thing and how they say something to you. You have to quit grouping everything in, because sometimes the labels that you're trying to throw out, that's not it, but that's the easiest one for you to reference. And you need to also explain what you're actually trying to say to them, because I think that's a thing that that we definitely get caught up. We see that the buzzwords, right? Buzzwords pop up and then everything gets thrown under that umbrella, right? We talked about gaslighting on here, which yes, there's a lot of things that are gaslighting. Sometimes people are just lying to you. And there's people who are just lying intentionally, unintentionally, whatever it may be, not unintentional, because I guess if you're lying, you're lying. But there's other times that these labels, these things that do get thrown out just to have some of that. And also if you're actually, the point of interacting with somebody is to bring some type of awareness or get them to, if it's not just to drop the gavel and or drop the mic and walk away, then, and it's supposed to be a conversation, then also have more words than just that label to be able to go in that conversation with. Because I think that's where we definitely get, and where we've been is something gets thrown out and it's like, I'm not that. And it's like, right. Yes, because of the way that it's been put in these. And it's like, you may not have an understanding that that actually fits in there. But if you explain that in a different way and then get to that word and be like, yeah, so that kind of looks like this.
Yep.
There's a lot more people that would probably not have cut their ears off and stopped listening. Walk.
Exactly. You know? So, yeah.
Communication, baby. Anyways, with that, we've been communicating for your earlobe, with your earlobe for the last 50 something minutes, and we're about to stop. You know why? Because you're done. You cut off. You buns. Men's is out. Shout out to y'all for taking this time and rocking with us today. You can follow us on those Instagrams. You can follow us at Unrefined Sophisticates. Follow Morg at Portland Morgan. I already told you where you can find me, but if you forgot, pull up Google Maps, type in my name. It may show you something. You can go ahead and follow our sponsor, The Nine Brand, at TheIXBrand. Make sure you like and subscribe and review wherever you listen. And tell a friend to tell a friend about us. And with that being said,
it's checkout time. Gotta go. Gotta go. Yeah, baby. It's checkout time. Gotta go. Y'all know what time. Come on, man. Get your bags, man. Call that bell, motherfucker. Tell the cop. Get a nigga shit.